Would you turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 24 this evening, continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, where God has given us so much wisdom to direct our walk. And I trust that these messages, as we look at different topics in the book of Proverbs, have been an encouragement and a help to you. This evening, we want to speak about a very important topic, which is dealt with through the course of the book of Proverbs, and that is the relationship between a husband and his wife. And I've titled the message tonight, Marriage Matters. Marriage does matter. You know, in this day and age, people are trying to tell us that marriage doesn't really matter, that it's something that is not that important, and that it's not really necessary in order to have a true home. And yet I'm here to tell you tonight that God is the one who designed the home, and God is the one who made marriage what it is, and we are very, very foolish to discount God's wisdom in this area. And I realize that a lot of what I'm going to say tonight is going to be out of step with the cultural wisdom of today, but it still is what God says about the way that a home, and in particular, a marriage, should be ordered. And so I hope tonight that you'll pay attention to these things and allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I think we could say tonight that while we, and I certainly am thankful for my wife, I'm thankful for the relationship that we have, I'm thankful for our home, the children that God has given to us, and I'm sure many of you could express the same type of a sentiment. And yet, there's always a part of me that says, I want to grow in this area. I want to be more of the kind of husband that God wants me to be. I want to be a better father. I want to be responsible to follow the principles of Scripture. And if you haven't figured it out yet, that means that none of us have arrived. And we have some space to grow. And so there's things we can learn about this. Now, you may be here tonight and say, well, I'm not married. What does this have to do with me? Well, first of all, if you're not married, there's a possibility that you may be married one day. And so learn, young people especially, learn to listen to these types of lessons because, you know, there's a lot of things that you can prepare yourself with before marriage that can help you to have the kind of marriage eventually that God wants you to have. And then maybe some of you are here and you say, well, I don't think that I'm ever going to be married. Or maybe you don't see that as something in your future. And you say, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, but it does, because as part of the Lord's church here, there is a responsibility for all of us to encourage one another in this area. And for those of you who are unmarried, to be an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ who have a family, have marriages, and to encourage them to know how to pray for them and to admonish them in love. And these things are important. And so tonight we want to spend some time talking about the fact that marriage does matter. Now, when we think about having a home that is pleasing to the Lord, we should realize tonight that the relationship between a husband and his wife is the cornerstone of the family relationship. You realize that when two people are married, when a man marries a woman, and that's the only kind of marriage that's seen in the Bible, just in case you were wondering, when a man marries a woman, when they enter into a covenant of marriage, a family is begun. The Bible says that that man is to leave his father and mother and to cleave to his wife, to cling to her. And the two of them are to be one flesh. In God's eyes, even if that couple never is blessed with children, never has children, in God's eyes, they are still a family. And God says that is a family, that husband and that wife. And you know that relationship between a man and his wife is the cornerstone of all the rest of the family. If they have children, the vitality of their relationship has a dramatic effect on the children that they have. As we think about this, if a man and his wife are not at peace with one another in the home, then the consequences spill over into every other relationship of their lives. This is a priority relationship, In God's economy, marriage, the relationship between a man and his wife is, I believe, a number two priority after each of their relationship with God himself is their relationship with one another. This is a very, very important relationship and one that we would do well to study, to learn, and to grow in. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse number 3, the Bible says this, "Through wisdom is an house builded." Now, the way that the word house is used here in verse 3 is not speaking about the physical structure, but it is speaking about the people that make up a home. "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Would you consider with me, first of all, tonight, the potential of a godly marriage? When two people are married, it is God's will that they would have, that they would begin the kind of home that could have an impact on the world. You know, God's intention for the home, as God's intention for the New Testament church, is that that home would have an influence on the world. God wants our homes to be an example of His grace and a place where His holiness is lived out. And it is our desire, or it ought to be our desire, to realize the potential of a godly marriage. Now, as you look there in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, just a couple things I'll point out to you quickly. These two verses tell us that we should be concerned about building a home God's way. The world will give you lots of advice about how to build a home, but you would be very foolish indeed to take the world's wisdom and to discount God's wisdom in this matter. God says it's through wisdom that an house is builded. And if we choose the way of wisdom, then we'll find several things. First of all, our house will be built. Our house will be built up. And, you know, it's important in this matter to surrender these things to the Lord and to say, "Lord, I'm going to wait on your timing, and I want to submit to your plan for how my home should be built," because it's through God's wisdom that a house is built. But second of all, a house is not only builded by God's wisdom, but a house is established by God's wisdom. We want to have houses that are firmly built, that have a deep foundation, that are in a sense that they cannot be shaken through the storms of life, but that those storms draw us closer together rather than driving us apart. And so God says through wisdom a home can be builded, a home can be established, and I like this in verse 4, "By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." And what a picture this is of what God wants to do in our homes, to fill the rooms with precious and pleasant riches. I suggest to you that the riches God is speaking about in verse number 4 are not the kind that go jingle in your pocket or cha-ching in your bank account. But this is a different kind of riches. This is something altogether superior to physical riches. And I like the way that God paints a picture of these riches filling the chambers or the rooms of our house. And I like to think that the children that God has blessed my wife and I with are part of our rich inheritance from God. And then also all of the benefits that come from having a godly home, from having a home that in a sense that is framed after God's wisdom. And we think about the pleasant picture that is painted in our minds in verse number 4. In other words, that God wants us to realize the potential of having a home which is according to His plan. Now, several things that we'll talk about concerning the potential of a godly marriage. Turn with me to chapter 3 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse number 33, and notice first of all that the godly home is a place of success, a place of success. Proverbs 3 and 33 says this, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked." Now pause for a moment and answer for me this question. Do you want God's curse on your house? Do you want God's curse on your family? I think all of us could say, and I hope with conviction, no, I don't want God's curse upon my family. Notice the contrasting thought at the end of verse 33. "But he blesseth the habitation of the just." When a man is righteous and he desires to live according to God's plan, then we find that his home will be a place of success. I suggest to you tonight that to succeed in many other worldly accomplishments and fail in the home, for me, would not be acceptable. For me, I think that this area of the home is so very important. I think that's one of the reasons why the qualifications for a bishop, a pastor, have much to do with how he rules his house. They have a lot to do with his relationship with his wife and how he corrects and disciplines and trains his children and teaches them. Why? Because the home says a lot about our character. And I don't know about you, but I could handle failure in many other areas of my life. But I think if I found that I had failed in my home, that would be crushing. I think, you know, as a pastor, one of the things that I have to remember is that there can always be someone else come and pastor this church. But my wife is my wife. And I am the one that is to take care of her needs. And I am the one who is to shepherd her. And what a failure that would be if I failed in my relationship with my wife. And I believe that's why a man is disqualified from the ministry if he's divorced. And I believe the Bible teaches that very clearly. As a husband, I want to make sure that my home is a place of success. Now, what greater success is there than knowing that your home is all that God intends for it to be? You can endure a lot of trial and a lot of difficulty in your life if you have a stable home to come home to. At the end of the day, men, your job may be stressful, but if you have a loving wife and loving children to come home to at the end of the day, there's something very precious and blessed about that. You know, the sad thing is, in our world, people have lost the sight of the importance of a successful home. And even in many churches, many people who are professing Christians are sacrificing their homes on the altar of career success and financial achievement. And I'm telling you tonight, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. If you have to take a pay cut to be a better father, if you have to take a demotion at work in order to have a stronger relationship with your wife, then you ought to do it, because your home is much more important than your career trajectory. The godly home is a place of success. I think that for most of us, if we put as much time and energy into our marriages as we do into our hobbies and our careers, we would see more of what God talks about in this idea of homes being blessed. I really believe this, that God wants our homes to be a little bit of heaven on earth. Now, I realize that if you're married tonight, it's very likely that you're married to a sinner. And so is your spouse. And so I realize that there can be problems in the home, but I also know this, that by God's grace, we can have homes that can be a very sweet success. The godly home is a place of success. Second of all, the godly home is a place of sweetness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 17, a very descriptive verse, Proverbs 15, 17, going along with the theme that we've been talking about here concerning marriage. He says this, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." What does that mean? Well, the idea is that you may not have much, You may eat simple things, in this case, herbs, the grass of the field, the simple type of diet. There's not much expensive about this. But if you have love in your home, you ought to be grateful, because that's a tremendous treasure. And you know, there's many homes that have a stalled ox. I mean, a parked BMW or a yacht, or you fill in the blank, and that's the idea. An ox was very valuable. It was a lot of money, and the ox would work the field and was the mark of a successful farmer. But you know, if you have hatred therewith, what do you have? What a sad thing it is when men would rather stay at work because they don't want to go home to their families. You know, the godly home should be a place of sweetness. Sadly, not many can testify to the truth of this verse today, because many, even Christian husbands and wives, have become consumed with pursuing the things of this world. And as a result, their home is a place to avoid rather than a place that is a haven. It's better for us to have a home that's filled with love than to have a home that's filled with all the toys and all the baubles of this world. Let us work at having the kind of homes that God says is a sweet place. By the way, if you have that kind of a home, that is a magnet to the world around you. Do you realize that? Because people in our world don't know what that means. So many families today are completely dysfunctional. They have no idea how to follow the biblical plan of how to put a family together. And when they see a family that is following God's plan, that's a sweet, sweet thing. And we ought to strive for that. We ought to desire to have this kind of a home. Third of all, turn to chapter 12 of Proverbs. Verse number 7, the Bible says here that the godly home is not only a place of success and sweetness, but it's also a place of security. Proverbs 12 and verse number 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. The house of the righteous shall stand. In another place, in Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible speaks about the husband whose wife is a virtuous woman, and the Bible says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And the idea is that there is tremendous security in their relationship. There is a rock solid bedrock truth that they are always going to stick it out. You know, in our marriage, my wife and I have had some disagreements at times. We have at times weathered some trials and some difficulties. We have at times faced disappointments. But one thing we have always tried to make sure that we both understand is that we meant it when we said, "Till death do us part." There is nothing that can separate us besides death, because our covenant with one another is based upon God's observation, and thank goodness God's grace is real in our lives. You know, the husband and wife who strive to build a strong, Christ-honoring relationship will be rewarded with an incredible stability that seems so non-existent to the worldly person. I don't watch much television. I think most of you are aware of that. I say that from time to time. And I don't say that to say that if you have a television, there's something wrong with you or whatever. I can't stomach a lot of what's on there. But I know this, that a lot of what is portrayed in popular culture through entertainment about marriage is the negative side of marriage. It's that marriage is demeaning. It's that marriage is deflating. That marriage is something to try to get out of. And it's always shown as something to escape. But you know, in the Word of God, that's not what marriage is described as. And God made marriage to be good. God promises to make a home strong if we will seek God's wisdom and build our homes, and especially our marriages, on the principles of God's Word. And so we know that there's great potential to have a godly marriage. Now, you say, well, you do understand that there's problems in a marriage. Well, of course I do. And that's, ironically enough, what we're going to talk about next. It just worked out that way. It's undeniable tonight that there can be problems in a home, even a Christian home. Now, don't raise your hands, but I wonder how many of you have ever had any problems in your marriage. I wonder if any of you have ever had any disagreements, if you've ever had any fussing with one another, and if you haven't, just wait a little longer. Because the truth is, when two sinners live so close to one another, it's ridiculous to assume that neither of them will ever sin against God or their partner. It's a possibility, a probability, yes, even a certainty, that at times there are going to be some problems in a marriage. I often will speak with young couples who are preparing for marriage, and one of the principles that I like to emphasize and to drive home is this idea that we should not view conflict and disagreement in the home as a terrible thing or as a deal breaker. Because the truth is, conflict is often how we grow closer to the Lord. Conflict is often how we find out that we're not quite as spiritual as we thought we were. And perhaps your spouse has pointed that out for you once or twice, that you're not quite as spiritual as you thought you were. It's not that that we, and I think sometimes, especially Christian young people who hear preaching about marriage, sometimes have an idea, well, as long as I marry the right person, we'll never have any trouble. That's unreasonable. That's an unreasonable expectation. But you know, the real problem with problems in a marriage is when we react wrongly to problems that could very easily be dealt with and forgiven. But instead of dealing with them properly and getting them in the past and leaving them there, we build up a history of offense and bitterness and anger towards one another, and oftentimes don't look for help until it's almost too late, till there's so many problems and so much water under the bridge that both the husband and the wife are ready to surrender the relationship. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the author of Proverbs deals with a couple of specific areas that, generally speaking, husbands and wives have trouble with. And we want to start with the husband in chapter 27 and verse number 8, where God warns about one of the pitfalls of men. And he warns us about this in very plain language. And this is not the only place where he speaks about this problem. But one of the big problems in a marriage is a man who becomes discontented. He becomes, in a sense, where he looks at his wife and he thinks, I could do better. I could get somebody different. I'd like to trade her in for a different model. And perhaps I can get rid of her and get someone else. Proverbs 27 and verse number 8 warns us about this, where the Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Men, if you're married, your place is in the home with your wife. And you ought to be careful to exercise fidelity and faithfulness to your marriage vows. A man who is discontented, a man who begins to toy with adultery, is a man who is taking fire into his bosom, and he will surely be burned. Now, we're warned about this man who wanders from his house, and I think this is repeated throughout the book of Proverbs a number of times, because for some men, they have the tendency to become discontent, especially when there is a problem, especially when there is a disagreement. Men can start to look for satisfaction and enjoyment in other places than in their home. Sometimes men will allow their love to grow cold towards their wife, and they end up then becoming susceptible to the affectionate advances of the strange woman. Beware. Watch out. If you become discontented in your marriage, Satan will surely lay a trap for your feet. And you're going to have to be aware and pay attention to that spirit of discontentment. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, the danger of the strange woman is described for us in this book. And it is true today, as it was in the day that the book of Proverbs was written, that there are many loose women in our world who are looking to seduce some discontented husband. And men, you ought to be careful about this spirit of discontentment. We won't go there, but in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 5 through 27, this woman's advances are described. And she comes and she allures and she seduces this man and she draws him after herself. And it's destruction for that man. We think about this man who is discontented and he begins looking elsewhere. And it's not always that men look for this contentment in another woman. Sometimes men will look for this contentment and they'll say, well, I'm not getting what I want at home, so I'll look in my career. I'll become somebody important at work. You know, a lot of times a man who is not allowed to be the head of his home or who has not established himself as the head of his home will be a man at work who likes to bark orders. And why? Because at home he's a puppy dog and he has to do what he's told. So he goes to work and he tries to tell other people what to do because that's hard for a man to handle. And if a man becomes discontented, he'll start to look for ways to satisfy his contentment. It might be an entertainment. And many men have just checked out of their marriage and they're content to live with the woman that they're married to. But they just exist in the same house and share some expenses. But for the most part, that they go their separate ways, and men will get all caught up in sports and entertainment and things like that. And they'll find great pleasure in that because they're not getting what they want out of their wife. Along with this, I can't hesitate to mention the problem, the humongous problem in our society of pornography. And pornography is so readily accessible to men, and most men, sadly, in our culture, use pornography at least on a limited or somewhat regular basis, and because of that, they are discontented at home. And remember, men, and I'll just speak as plainly as I can, it's really unfair to compare your wife to the airbrushed images in a magazine or on the internet. Something that has been photoshopped and tweaked and is unrealistic and unreal. And many men have become discontented in their marriages and have gone to that sort of a place where they can content themselves. And so the discontented man can be a problem. We'll talk about what you can do if you find that spirit of discontentment growing in your heart in just a little bit. But there's another problem that is frequently dealt with in marriage, and this would be often on the side of the woman, generally speaking, and this is a woman who is contentious. And I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, and verse number 13, where the Bible says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Drip, 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 drip. This analogy, this metaphor, is used repeatedly in the book of Proverbs to speak about how a woman can wear on her husband with her contentious spirit. Look at chapter 21 and verse 9. I hope you ladies will still smile at me after we're done with this. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And some men have found that to be true. And if a man is married to a brawling woman, he'll learn to make himself scarce. He'll learn to stay away. And that woman may be trying to somehow draw her husband closer to him, but in the process, she's driving him away. A contentious woman. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 24 says basically the same thing. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Be careful about that, ladies and young ladies. Learn to develop the meek and quiet spirit that the Bible speaks about. And you say, well, that's not my personality. Well, you should allow your personality to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And you should be careful not to destroy your marriage by the words that you use. Proverbs 27 and verse number 15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Very descriptive phrase. Many times in the book of Proverbs, and this is not all of them, but many times Solomon addresses the problem of a contentious woman. I thought about this and I said, I wonder if Solomon had any experience with this. I mean, the guy had hundreds of wives. There's got to be some kind of a chance that among those wives he had a couple of contentious women. And some that he said, I don't want to see that one again. Now, it's true that most women who become contentious are contentious because of some failure or shortcoming of their husband. And let me just help you ladies to understand tonight, if you're married, you're married to a man with shortcomings. You're married to a man who has some faults, and he's going to fail sometimes. Reminding him every time he fails about how many times he has failed is probably not going to help him to get victory next time. We must be careful in this area. Proverbs 14:1 tells us, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And it is possible, ladies, for you to destroy your marriage, for you to get in a situation where you have done much harm to your home, where you have actually torn your house down with your hands. Now, I know some of the ladies maybe are sitting here saying, but that's not fair to blame it all on me. And some of the men are sitting here saying, but that's not fair to blame it all on me. And the truth is that both the husband and the wife have 100% responsibility. It is the job of both the husband and the wife to pursue godly priorities in their marriage, whether or not their spouse does the same. Do you understand that tonight? You say, well, I have an unsaved spouse and they don't understand these things. That doesn't mean that it's impossible for you to keep up your end of the bargain. Be careful in your home to live, to strive after the principles that God has laid down. And there are other problems that can come up in a marriage for sure. But these are two significant ones that Solomon brings to our attention in the book of Proverbs. And what I've observed and what I believe is characterized in Scripture is that often these problems between a husband and wife become a vicious cycle that feeds itself. And if it's not halted, if it's not brought to a stop by the power of the Spirit of God, it will destroy your home. It will cause you to have a marriage that you regret rather than one that you rejoice in. Left to its natural end, this cycle only produces destruction and disintegration. If the cycle is not stopped, there will be a building of tension in the home, and contention and discontentment will grow and grow until at some point the marriage will either implode and explode. You know, some couples will stay together because it's the right thing to do. But you know, God doesn't just want you to live in the same house with your spouse. He wants you, husbands, to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. He wants you, wives, to submit yourselves to your husbands. God wants you to have the home that he describes in his word. And so by God's grace and the power of the Spirit of God, we can confront these problems. Now, real quickly, what are some priorities of a godly marriage? If we're going to have a marriage that is pleasing to God, that is strong, that can weather the storms of life? What are some practical things that the book of Proverbs tells us that we should do? Well, first of all, again, let's deal with the husband. And there are some instructions that are given to a husband. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 14. And first of all, understand that a husband is given the responsibility to recognize the value of his wife. Recognize the value of your wife. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." Chapter 18 and verse number 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Men, instead of dwelling on the faults of your wife, instead of finding the things that you don't like about her, find something to be thankful for about in your wife. You know, a man who genuinely understands the value of his wife, he will guard her. He'll protect her, and he'll treat her, as the Bible describes her, as a precious gift from the Lord, as something that should be treated with the utmost care and respect. Men, I have very little respect for a man who will disrespect his wife, especially in front of other people. Making your wife the butt of your jokes is not a good idea. Mocking your wife, scorning your wife, not a good idea. This is not how we treat treasured things. If you treasure your wife, then make sure that she knows it and make sure that other people around know it. You say, "But my wife has a lot of problems." Maybe true. I'll bet you've got some too. I doubt if you want your wife announcing it to the world and telling everybody what your problem is. And so as husbands, we ought to take care to recognize the value of the woman that God has given to us to be married to. Then turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, which describes in very plain language the fact that a husband must often rekindle the love affair with his wife. Proverbs 5 and verse number 15 says this, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be thine only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." I said this, the husband is responsible to rekindle the love affair with his wife. Men, it's your job to bring some romance to the relationship. And you say, "I don't know how to do that." Well, you got her to say yes to you and to marry you at one point, so you must have known something at one time. And men, it's your responsibility to rekindle that love affair. Verse 15 is so instructive when it tells us, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well." A man who is discontented in his home and is not loving his wife as he ought to, which is the primary command in Ephesians chapter 5 for the husband, he is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. But a man who is not doing that is going to be tempted to look for satisfaction. He's going to look for the emotional fulfillment that he is missing in other places. And that is a very dangerous thing. Here we're living in a culture right now where people are trying to figure out how to stop sexual abuse. Are you noticing this? It's in the news every day. There's actors and actresses and people standing up and saying, "Me too, we've got to stop this." And you know, we do need to stop this. But you know, one easy thing that puts a stop to a lot of sexual abuse is to stop sleeping around with every new person that you meet. Isn't that amazing? If you follow biblical principles, which today are called puritanical, oh, we can't go back to that. Why not? Isn't it amazing how God designed marriage to be fulfilling? And it's described here in Proverbs chapter 5. And we ought to, men, those of you who are husbands, you ought to work at rekindling that love affair with your wife. A husband should treat his wife in a way that she feels treasured, and he is to rejoice in her love for him. God wants us to continue in love. Now, there's something about the feelings of love, and that is that they fade if you don't stoke the fire. And so, husbands, that's your responsibility. You say, well, I'm waiting for my wife to do that. Your wife is a responder. It's your job to stoke the fire. It's your job to make sure that she knows that you love her. It's your job to make sure that she feels secure, that she knows that she is safe with you. The husband should love his wife, and he ought to take that very seriously. Tonight, whether you've been married for less than a year or for 40 years, doesn't really matter. You still have a responsibility to love your wife, husbands. This is what God wants us to do. And if you will be careful to do that, men, you might find the satisfaction, the contentment that you've missed for a long time in that relationship because you get busy working at building that kind of a relationship. What is the wife's instruction? If the husband is to show love and honor towards his wife, what is the wife's instruction? Well, there's several things that are spoken about in the book of Proverbs. Look in chapter 14 and verse 1, which we looked at just a moment ago, where it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And first of all, the wife really needs to recognize her priority. Ladies, your place in the home is so very important. So very important. Much of what goes on in the home, especially if you are a stay-at-home mom and your husband is working out in the world and you're home all day with the kids, you have a lot to do with the temperature of that home. And I don't mean where the thermostat for the heater or the air conditioner is set. The woman who is godly will realize, I have an opportunity to build my house. Many women can become frustrated with the fact that they're at home. They say, "I there's so many other things I could be doing, and I've got these kids." Those kids are God's greatest gift to you. And what an opportunity you have to build a home that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. In a world today that is increasingly bent on seeing women establish successful careers and go on to become powerful earners of income, a godly wife really needs to ask herself some hard questions. Is her first responsibility to her career and her plans for life, or is her first responsibility to her husband and her children? I'm not suggesting tonight that it's always wrong for a woman to work outside of the home, but I am suggesting that scripturally the first priority is the home. The first place that a woman should be making sure that things are taken care of is in the home. And ladies, you have something to do with the spiritual temperature of that home. Recognize your priority. We won't take the time, but you know that Proverbs chapter 31 describes a woman who is virtuous. And I think one of the things that I enjoy about the Proverbs 31 woman in verses 10 through 31 of that chapter is that this woman is relentless in her pursuit, and she is busy building a home, as we see in chapter 14 and verse number 1. And there's all different personalities of women. There's all different bents and strengths and weaknesses, but we know this, that every woman who belongs to God can be a virtuous woman. This woman in Proverbs 31 is a woman of character and industry. She cares for her family and she loves her husband. This woman is a standard of excellence for all women to study and to strive after. And I know many of you ladies have looked at those verses before, but those verses speak much about a woman's place in the home and her responsibility to her husband, to her children, to her family. Third of all, the wife is instructed in this way. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 4. And I realize tonight that this is counter to a lot of the wisdom of the world. I will point out, though, in Proverbs 31, that virtuous woman, it says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. So she's not some kind of a wallflower or a decoration in the living room. But she's someone who her husband trusts her. She successfully runs a business. She has different skills that she's involved in. That doesn't mean, ladies, you have to take up real estate, all right? Again, it gives great latitude for different pursuits of a wife, but the emphasis is always that her place is first and foremost in the home and to care for her husband and her children. That brings us to chapter 12 and verse number 4. Proverbs 12 and 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. You know, there is a reality that a woman who lives to please the Lord and strives to please the Lord is a tremendous benefit to her husband and her family. And third of all, I want you to understand that a wife should realize her purpose and her greatest joy. You understand tonight that the purpose of a married woman is not to have a fulfilling career. It's not. Now, if along the way God gives you a fulfilling career, that's fine. But that's not the purpose. The purpose, as seen in Scripture for a wife, is to be the one who completes and fulfills her husband. She is to follow her husband's leadership. And you know, when a husband has a wife like the woman who's described in chapter 31, that has a tremendous effect on him. He will love her. He will care for her. He will honor her. And so a woman ought to rise to the challenge and be the kind of woman, the kind of wife in the home that God wants her to be. And I believe this, that if a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, it's in that place that she will find the greatest contentment. It's in that place that she will find the greatest fulfillment in completing her husband. Now, some in our day and age say that's just not modern enough. You know, this is the new age, and things are different now, and we've got to give room for women to advance and all this sort of thing. And I think more and more that some women in our society are finding out that all that liberation is not so liberating, that all of that is not so fulfilling, and many of them say, I wish that I had just stayed in the home. I wish that I could be there. I wish that I could raise my children. I wish I could go back and do it over again. And so I say to some of you who are young, some of you who are still raising your children, don't be discouraged by that, but continue to there in your home, build a strong marriage and love your children, and you will find that God will give you tremendous contentment. You know, at the end of the day, God says that we can have marriages that will be pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes we try to put too stringent of requirements on what that looks like. I suggest to you that every home will be a little bit unique because every home is made up of unique men and women. You have unique strengths and weaknesses, each of you who are married. And if you learn that in that relationship you are one flesh, if you learn that God has given you someone to complete you, men, that together you're much stronger than you are alone, then you can find that your marriage can be something that is pleasing to the Lord and satisfying to yourself and brings great glory to God. And may it be said tonight of Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, that is a church that is full of strong marriages. May it be said. Do you know tonight that the strength of our church is very much dependent on the strength of the homes that represent this church? And the strength of those homes is very much dependent on the priority relationship of those homes, the marriages that we have, the husbands and wives loving one another and caring for one another. And if we strengthen those relationships, God will strengthen our church. We ought to invest in these relationships because this is where God can receive great glory.